Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Uralo Bylaws Task Force call on Wednesday, the 1st of June, 2016 at 1400 UTC. On the call today, we have Wolf Ludwig, Olivia Crippen-LeBlond, Eric Schweinhofer, and Stefano Trumpi. We have listed apologies from Roberto Gattano. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. Have we missed anybody in the roll call? No one so far? Okay. Well, welcome to yet another call of the Uralo Bylaws discussions. We are rewriting some of the bylaws to update them. And the first thing we're going to do is to look at the action items, and then we will be focusing specifically on a specific section of work, the review of the statutory bodies of Uralo. Michael Medrish has supplied a draft of amendments of the statutory bodies, and we had a general discussion of these last week. This week we're going to go line by line so as to get things done and agree or disagree on keeping the lines there line by line. We'll also have a discussion on the General Assemblies, whether they are annual, extraordinary, or ordinary General Assemblies. Are there any amendments to the agenda at this point in time? I know that Sébastien Bachelet has joined us. Welcome, Sébastien. I have heard no one put their say anything, so the agenda is adopted as it is currently on the screen. And first we'll look at the action items. And the action items, as they have been recorded so far, are a mix of what we discussed last week and what we agreed on as a group, and also of some action items. So the first thing was that the vice chair position will include the secretariat function, and all of Section 12 of the current bylaws will be removed. That's the change to be will be sent to the mailing list, and in 24 hours, no objection, this will be adopted. I think that this was done. I can't quite recall whether, because it was a week ago and so much has happened since, but I think that this was done. We received no objection. Sylvia, could you please help me on this?
Hello, Olivier. Actually, I don't believe we completed this action item.
So we haven't asked the list. Okay, fine. Then it's okay. It's Olivier speaking. We'll do it this week, then. We'll send the this out to the list. Wolf Ludwig, you put your hand up.
Thanks, Olivier. It's Wolf Ludwig speaking for the records. Well, I think this won't work if we, like it said here in the action items, all of Section 12 of the current bylaws shall be removed, changed to be sent to the mailing list, and in 24 hours, no objection, this will be adopted. You cannot proceed with bylaw amendments like this. This is simply not acceptable, because if we have to do the bylaw changes online and asking the community for approval, you have to give at least a week. That's what we did, by the way, when we changed the bylaws or modified the bylaws in spring 2011.
Well, if I can just jump in. Sorry to be interrupting you on this. This is in the context of this working group, so we're talking about this working group adopting this. Of course, the overall bylaw changes and so on are going to go through a much heavier process. But no, we're just talking about that because some people haven't made it to the call, so we usually hope that people have listened to the recording and or have read the transcripts of the call, and then, you know, we're basically saying, okay, then we all agree about Article 12 in this working group. And, of course, the next step after this will be to then make a presentation of all of the bylaw changes once we have finished our work our community and go through formal adoption. So sorry about this, Wolf. It's I guess it was recorded in an ambiguous way. Sorry.
Now it's clear.
Thank you. So, yeah, on all of the action items here, this is just for this working group. None of this is an approval by Uralo in one way or another. In fact, it might well be that the Uralo members decide to say no to all of these changes, and that's something we have to be aware of. But hopefully we will have made good enough changes that they will be adopted. So the next thing was the number of board members was discussed again. The proposal was for a minimum of 5 members and up to 7. The GA will be able to raise the number up to 7 members. Such decision has to be made by a motion in the GA because of the increase of the workload in Uralo. So effectively, the default would be 5 members on the board. That includes, of course, the chair and the vice chair of Uralo. And then the third one is the document sent by Michael will be reviewed by all and edited line by line, which is what we're going to do today. The fourth one is that the annual general assembly shall be discussed. Details of quorum, proxies, voting, etc. will have to be decided, and we're doing this today. Distinction must be made between an ordinary GA, extraordinary GA, and annual GA. That's what we're discussing today. And finally, all members should read through these notes and come back prepared to discuss all these issues. We'll find out in a moment. Wolf Ludwig, you put your hand up. You have the floor.
Okay. Thanks again, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig for the records. This formulation, the second last, or the third last, a distinction must be made between an ordinary General Assembly, extraordinary, and the annual GA. This is a misleading formulation again, because the ordinary is the annual General Assembly. So we have one ordinary, according to the bylaws, we are obliged to hold what we called it one ordinary General Assembly per year, what we last time slightly modified by saying it's the annual General Assembly, and then besides this there can be extraordinary General Assemblies which have to be conducted if a certain number, I think we said 10% of the membership is asking for this. But ordinary General Assembly and annual General Assembly are more or less the same.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. So we'll make the amendments. I don't know, who is taking the note today? Is it Sylvia?
Yes, this is Sylvia. I'm taking notes.
Ah, thanks, Sylvia. So, okay, that's taken. I think you're absolutely right, Wolf. Yes, the ordinary is the AGM, or Annual General Assembly, AGA, I guess we would call it, and the extraordinary one is any additional one that has to be called up.
Right.
If for whatever purpose it is, it would have to be called up. Okay, thanks for this. Are there any other comments on the action items? I don't see any other hands up. So let's now turn to the document which is linked to the agenda and which is the Uralo Bylaws Review. No, sorry. Review of Statutory Bodies of Uralo Draft. It's available from the agenda both in doc and in PDF if you haven't got Microsoft Word. And so the suggestion was to go line by line, so we now start having proper, effectively, we start drafting in a way. I mean, you know, and with a minimum amount of changes. Now, I understand that the changes which are there has been quite minimal. They've been mostly based on the current bylaws that we have. Don't worry about the numbering and all of that. We will work this out as when we work things out later. It's just to find out the content is what is important here. So we're going to go line by line, and if there are any comments on the line or amendments, then please let us know. I hope that you're all able to see this, and can you all scroll and see the document?
And Olivier, this is Terry. I do have scroll where everyone can scroll themselves at this
time.
Yeah,
I can.
Perfect. Okay, super. As I said, there's also a link that Terry has put a link to the Uralo bylaws. But Terry, if you could also put the link to that document, that would be helpful. The statutory
Certainly,
bodies.
One moment.
Okay, so the statutory bodies, duties, responsibilities, and other. Okay, the statutory bodies of the association, the General Assembly, the Board, the Chair, the Vice Chair. A, the General Assembly. The General Assembly is the senior body of the association and may review without limitation any of the activities of the other bodies of the association. Are we okay with this? A1. Wolf Ludwig.
It's an old hand.
Okay, thanks.
I'm on the way to read.
Okay, thanks. So if I don't hear any response, I'm going to read line by line, basically, because it's not so long, and we have plenty of time on this call to go through it. If there is any objection, then please raise your hand or any comments. So A1, I haven't seen anybody put their hand up. We are on A1, the statutory bodies of the association. And A says the General Assembly, and the first sentence is, the General Assembly is the senior body of the association and may review without limitation any of the activities of the other bodies of the association. And then number two, the General Assembly is composed of the representatives of the members with respect of rules of procedure of association. Maybe we need to change this, with respect to the rules of procedures, or according to the rules of procedures of the association. Sebastian is lost. Sebastian, we're on A2 now. Can you see the PDF? Sebastian Bachelet.
Sorry, but I got a link named Uralo Bylaws. That's not the link I need to go to see, because it's too small within the frame of the Adobe Connect.
You can zoom in. No, the link is statutory governing bodies. The link underneath that Terry has put there.
Yeah, but what is what is the link between the two? No link between bylaws and statutory bodies?
There isn't. It's Olivier speaking. It's a new document, Sebastian. And I think, I'm not sure if you were on the call last week, but we went through a new document.
I was not. I am lost.
Okay.
I am whatever. And maybe I am lost because it's a statutory body. SB, it's not statutory body. I am sorry. It's Sebastian Bachelet. But go ahead. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks very much for this, Sebastian. Okay, so let's start again. Yes, we are looking at the statutory bodies, governing bodies, whatever we call them. It's the part of of our bylaws that Michael Medrash has looked at and is proposing some amendments. It might have been easier maybe with a red line copy, but we don't have a red line copy at hand. So we're working on this, and we're doing it line by line. We are now on A2, which says the General Assembly is composed of the representatives of the members with respect of rules of procedure of association. And I think following the rules of procedure of association, or in accordance with the rules of procedure of the association.
In accordance.
Okay, thanks, Wolf. So in accordance. And okay, thanks. I see that this is going in the action items. Thank you, Sylvia. Seeing no hands, we can then move to the next one. And just as a reminder, it is Olivier speaking for the transcript, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. In the General Assembly, A3, in the General Assembly, each member of association is entitled with one vote. Only members, as at 30 days prior to the opening of a General Assembly, shall be authorized to vote. The absent member can vote by proxy vote due or following principles mentioned in the rules of procedure. We might have to clean up the text a little bit, but I think that's quite clear. Any comments on this? So what we are introducing here is the ability to have a proxy vote. And we also are saying that only members that are members 30 days prior to the start of a General Assembly shall be authorized to vote. Any comments on this? Are we in agreement? Are we okay? Are we not? I see a green tick from Wolf Ludwig. And no other comments. So I assume that this is fine with you. Let's move on then to number four. And number four has several subparts. Four says the General Assembly is responsible without limitation for the following matters. Point number one, review the work of the board, the chair, and the vice chair of the association. Point number two, where required and with respect of rules of and procedure of the association, approve the actions of the board, the chair, and the vice chair of the association. So don't see any hands up, so I'm continuing. Third, election and dismissal of the board, the chair, and the vice chair of the association. Four, election of members representing European region at the ALAC and at the other ICANN structures and groups. These selected representatives must represent different ALSs, must have their principal residence in different countries of the region, and their nationalities must be different. To the extent of possible, gender balance and regional balance within Europe shall be fostered. I think it's to the extent possible.
Right.
Gender balance and regional balance within Europe shall be fostered. And I think that was a big discussion, wasn't it, Wolf, recently on this? There was some discussion.
Yes, you are right, Olivier Wolf Ludwig for the records. This was, since the beginning, an ongoing concern, and I distributed for the last General Assembly in Dublin a list with an overview of the positions we elected or we selected people over the past years, which showed more or less that to the extent possible we tried to consider gender and regional balance. Sometimes it's not always possible. The last case we had was the voting on Sandra's succession, where we actually had two candidates, and finally it was Veronica who was selected. And I think main reason why she got the vast majority of votes, 19, was such gender and regional balance considerations. So it should be formulated like this to the extent possible, because there may be situations where we would be blocked, but so far it worked. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for this, Wolf. Next is Sébastien Bachelet.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. Yeah, I have trouble with the second sentence. Is it the selection representative for all ALAC and other ICANN structure and groups that must represent different ALS and must have the presentable vision and so on and so forth? Or is it for each body? Because if it's not the case, that means that, let's say, for example, today there is one representative in the board living in France, and then nobody else from France could be in ALAC or could be in other ICANN structure, the way it is written.
Yeah, thank you, Sabine. Speaking, and Wolf, you have the floor.
May I respond? I think this didn't apply for different bodies. Let's say if we had ALAC members from the same country, we had a strange situation at the moment that actually with Jimmy Schulz and Sandra, we had two representatives from different ALSs, but from the same country of origin and same country of residence, Germany. But of course, this does not apply to the NOMCOM selected ALEC member because we have no influence on this. So this marks an exception. We can only consider this in circumstances where we, the community, or our members have to select. But this does not necessarily apply to a second body of the association. So if we have a German member in the board and a German member as an ALEC representative, I think this should be possible because they are different bodies. That's the way we apply the rules so far, and I think this makes sense.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. And so I would suggest then, and good point, Sebastian, on this, I would suggest then that for the second sentence in section 4.4, instead of saying the selected representatives must represent different ALSs, must have their principal residence in the different countries of the region, and their nationalities must be different, I would suggest that we precede this with, for each body, the selected representatives must represent different ALSs. And
right.
I guess we're all well aware that this means that the RALO would only be able to select people from different countries, but obviously if someone is selected by the nominating committee to represent the ALAC, to sit on the ALAC, and we already have someone who is selected by the RALO from that same country, it's fully known that this has in the past happened and will happen in the future likely as well, and so we can't change this. It's really for the selection in this from this place. So for each body, the selected representatives must represent different ALSs, etc. I see Michael Medres has put his hand up. Michael, you have the floor.
Read this text. As much countries, as much ALSs, as many as possible, the more the better. Not about some certain group, some certain mechanism, but all groups of ALAC. So as many countries as possible, the more the better. So this is my opinion. Thank you. Not only in one committee, but I thought about all picture, the whole picture.
So Michael, it's Olivier speaking, and we missed the beginning of your explanation. I think you were muted. So could you please restart the beginning of your explanation, please, so as to make it clear for everyone?
I will try. Okay. I thought that the more representatives, less second countries, in Halak. The more the better. So I thought about all committees, all groups, and members from different countries, different dioceses. Not only some nominating committee or Halak itself. I think the more countries, the more LSs are active, it's better. It's better for Urala, for at large.
Okay, thanks for this, Michael. It's Olivier speaking. Next we have Sebastian. Sebastian Ashwari.
Yes, thank you. It's exactly the point, and we have two ways of sorting that out. All we talk about its bodies, or we can't say must. Must is strong, because if at the end of the day we have candidates from the same country of somebody from another body, we will get trapped and have no representative. And I see the goal, but it can't be an obligation. In one moment of the life of at large and of Urala, we didn't have so much candidate, and it's sometimes still the case. And we need to be able to have... It could be written as a goal, but not as an obligation. And either we put for each body, or we change must to the extent possible also, or something like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sebastian. Next is Wolf Ludwig.
Thanks, Olivier. I think I understood the concern of Michael and Sebastian. The point is, it's a good aim, and it should be pursued. But sometimes we are, and over the past years we were in situation very practically, where we could not do it like we would have wished to do it. Therefore, let me suggest to formulate the last sentence under four. To the extent possible, diversity among the members, gender balance and regional balance within Europe shall be fostered. This means, again, we here write it as a goal to the extent possible, and I know that the diversity aspect is a very important one. Therefore, I would enter here as another criteria to the extent possible diversity of members, comma, gender balance and regional balance within Europe shall be fostered. I think like this we can formulate it as a goal, but under the condition to the extent possible, that this means we are not blocked in a situation where we simply cannot implement it, because if we want to select people, we have to find suitable people, and sometimes we were in a real dilemma that we, at a certain moment and for a certain position, we couldn't do it. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf. Next is Michael Mitrich.
The police diversity. I agree with Sebastian. Must is very strong.
Michael, again, the beginning of your sentence was chopped off, so could you please start again?
Okay. I've tried to use the same word, thank you, Wolf, diversity. So I agree with Sebastian, must is very strong, and I suppose it's necessary to fix the principle, diversity. And I would like to underline that... the word diversity is going from memorandum of understanding in between ICANN and signing organizations at the start of regional ILS structures. So I agree with Wolf, yes, and the text can be judged. It is necessary to read on the paper, and to fix maybe next time, but I agree. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Michael. It's Olivier speaking.
Thanks.
So my understanding from the discussions we've had is that we would, and please tell me if I'm wrong here, is that we would just keep the last sentence of that paragraph: to the extent possible, gender balance and regional balance will within Europe shall be fostered. And we wouldn't have the beginning, the sentence number two, the one which says the selected representatives must represent different ALSs and must have their principal residence in different countries or the region. So
no, I'm wrong.
So,
yeah.
Paul, please.
Sorry to contradict Olivier. It's Wolf Ludwig for the records. What I was suggesting, keep the above and only modify the last sentence under four to the extent possible. My suggestion was here to include, to the extent possible, reach the diversity of members, comma, gender balance and regional, so we add another criteria besides gender and regional balance while pointing to the diversity of members. So in a best case, we should try to find as many different people for different function and for different bodies. If we can do this, we should pursue it, and therefore it's adding a third criteria in. So far, the sentence, we have gender and regional balance within Europe, but it's to add, to the extent possible, diversity of members, gender balance and regional balance within Europe shall be fostered. This was my understanding, and I understood that Sebastian and Michael supported this approach.
Thank you, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. But you're speaking of the third sentence in this paragraph. The question is on the second sentence, because the second sentence says the selected representatives must represent different ELSs, must have their principal residence, et cetera, which means that if you have someone on the ALAC selected by the RALO that is from a German at-large structure, no other German can be on any committee that is selected by the ALAC, because we're also looking here at other ICANN structures
okay.
and groups. No other German could be on a review team, and no other German could. In fact, if you have someone who is a German on the ALAC, I guess you couldn't have a German as the chair of Uralo or the vice chair of Uralo. That's the sort of concern. And so we end up, if we have 20 positions that we have to fill, and it might be with some of the working groups that we have several positions, we will end up with not being able to put people on these working groups, because we'll run out of nationalities or run out of volunteers, or end up with volunteers who don't have the skills to be able to do this. So that's
and
where there's a concern.
And it be replaced must by should.
And that's what was suggested. And let's continue with the floor with Sebastian, because Sebastian did notice this. Sebastian Bachelet.
Yes, thank you, Olivia. Yeah, I was thinking to add before the sentence and to the extent possible, the selected representative should represent different ILS, should have their principal residence and so on and so forth. Because I will not repeat the discussion, but I will be very happy to have one representative per country, for the whole representation of Uralo, but we are far from that, unfortunately. or maybe sometime, fortunately. But the question of we have member, the member are already diverse. What we don't have is the diversity in this leadership position. Then find a way to write it in a right English, but you are better than me at that, and I will be happy. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. So Olivier speaking. So the paragraph should read, so 4.4, election of members representing European regions at the ELAC and at the other ICANN structures and groups. To the extent possible, the selected representatives should represent different ELSs, should have their principal residence in different countries of the region, and their nationalities should be different. Are we okay with this? And then the next sentence would be, to the extent possible, diversity amongst the members, gender balance, and regional balance within Europe shall be fostered. That's the last sentence of this paragraph. Are we okay with this? I see a green take from Wolf. And we don't have... Sylvia, we don't have for each body. We're actually taking it as a whole. So all of the different responsibilities that might be there should really, we try and spread it among as many people as we can.
Right.
So to the extent possible, the selected representatives should represent different ALSs, should have their principal residence in different countries of the region, and their nationalities should be different. To the extent of possible, diversity amongst the members, gender balance and regional balance within Europe shall be fostered. I don't see anyone objecting to this, so that's fine. Thank you. That's a good progress. Let's move on then to number five. So the General Assembly is responsible. So five, I think we have said, has the power to amend these articles of association and to dissolve the association. That is the right name, to dissolve the association. And then... for the following matters, approval of the rules of procedure. It's the General Assembly that has to approve the rules of procedure. Any comments? I don't see anybody putting their hand up, so let's move on. Number five. An ordinary General Assembly of the Association shall be organized at least once per year. And I was going to suggest on this one that we would then say on the same sentence, well, one sentence after that in the same clause, that ordinary General Assembly is called the Annual General Assembly. Wolf Ludwig.
Thanks, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig for the records. I'm simply asking myself whether it's necessary to have here at least, because more practically wouldn't be possible, shall be organized once per year, and then with what you said, this is called the annual general meeting.
Thanks for this point, both. That's a good point, yes. I think it was saying at least, just in case there is a need for AGMs that are every 6 months. I think it just leaves the door open. I'm not sure it actually brings any, makes any difference, really. As long as we have one once a year. Let's see with Michael. Michael has put his hand up. Michael Yakuchev. Michael Medrish, sorry. Why am I saying Yakuchev? Michael Medrish, you have the floor.
Michael Yakuchev. Thank you, Mike. I will say Michael Yakuchev, that you remember him.
Are you listening to me?
With the transcripts, Michael, so they call him Michael
Perry. Okay. I would like to say that it's a part of today's, as I can remember, today's wording from Articles of Association. I agree with Wolf that ordinary General Assembly or Yarl General Assembly shall be organized once a year. It's good enough. All other General Assemblies will be
extraordinary.
How it is written? Extraordinary. Yes. Yes.
Right.
So, I suppose right. Once a year, ordinary General Assembly. All others, extraordinary, and that's all. It will be simpler, understandable for all, and it's clear. And I suppose it's in such norm is usual norm for bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Sebastian.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sorry, I was disconnected. But I am back, and I wanted just to challenge this, because if, for example, it happens that we will have in 3 months or 4 months after, in 1 year and 4 months after the previous General Assembly, an ICANN meeting in Europe, why not to postpone and not to do it each year? I think we need to have some flexibility. Once again, it's not to say that I don't want to have each year, but it could happen that it could be much less costly, much less difficult, and for all of us and for staff and for ICANN in general to have this type of meeting, not just 1 year. 1 year could be a good way, but it could be also very strict in what we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Michael.
I would like to stress one point. Ordinary General Assembly is not, must not be a vis-a-vis meeting. It can be some virtual voting, but the set of questions, the set of points on a General Assembly must be fixed. It's a report, and voting about this, and voting about members in some other structures, and board, and main and officers. So this is a set of points for the General Assembly. But General Assembly cannot be vis-a-vis meeting each time. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Michael. Sebastian, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not talking about the way the General Assembly is organized, if it's a face-to-face meeting or an online meeting, but nevertheless, if we have the opportunity to at least part of us meet face-to-face in one place 3 months after the year, it could be worthwhile to do it. It's just a question of practicality and diminishing the organizing even by phone or by Adobe in a General Assembly, it's a lot of work, and it's why I wanted to have some flexibility on that. I have no problem with the goal. I just if we try to do to put too much things as an obligation within the bylaw, it may happen that we get trouble one day. It's why. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. It's Olivier speaking. And I have a question, and we don't have anybody who's, maybe somebody might know on this. An annual General Assembly can only happen once in a year. Is there a possibility to have two AGAs in 1 year? Is it legal to have two annual general assemblies in a year. Sebastian?
I don't think that there are any legality here. You can do a general assembly each 5 years if you want. If we write an annual general assembly, yes, it's each year. But there are organizations where you have a general assembly each 2 years or each 18 months. And having each 6 months could be also. But here we don't need something if we add something within the same year, we will add an extraordinary assembly. Then it's not my question. My question was, but I get your point. But my question was, if we get something to be happening and will be easier for us to organize a general assembly in 14 months, why not to use this? But if we write each year, we will have to do it each year. That's okay with me too, but I wanted some flexibility here. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. Next is Eric Schreikhofer. The question is, does your microphone work? At the moment, it doesn't appear to do so. Did you connect your mic? Audio conference settings.
And Eric, this is Terry. As a reminder, to activate your microphone, on the top toolbar, select the telephone icon and follow the prompt. Or you can chat me. Again, this is Terry. And we can have the operator dial out to you if you provide me your telephone number.
I'm just giving it a few seconds if it works.
He's typing.
He's typing, okay. Don't worry, it does happen. I've had plenty of such problems with Adobe Connect. It does happen. In the meantime, my point of view on this, I think, is this sentence is really no big deal. If there is nothing that tells us that legally we cannot have more than one annual General Assembly per year, and regardless of the fact that it's much work to have to organize an annual General Assembly, then that's fine. It really is. The whole point is that it is, and I see Eric has mentioned in there, Eric Schreikhofer says in the chat, it is good practice to have a general assembly every year. In most association laws, two is too much, is much work, but an extraordinary is always possible. So Wolf says he can live with the formulation as it is. And I think the intent of this sentence was really that there should be at least one General Assembly every year so that we don't end up with years with no General Assembly. The whole point was the minimum rather than the maximum. Okay, then if that's the case, let's leave it as it is and let's move on to the next one, which is number six. Six is in two small parts. So wherever possible, a general assembly shall be held in connection with each ICANN international meeting, which is held in Europe. Where the general assembly so provides, it shall be left to the chair of the association to convene the general assembly by invitation to all members due to the rules of procedure. Said invitation shall include at least the following: the draft agenda and the draft year report of the chair of association. And I think there is a little confusion here because, again, we're looking at a general assembly shall be held in connection, but are we looking at an annual general assembly? Because if it's an annual general assembly, then there needs to be a draft year report of the chair of the association. But if it's not an annual General Assembly and it's just a an extraordinary General Assembly, then it doesn't need a draft year report of the chair of the association. Any comments, thoughts on this? So, Wolf Ludwig.
Well, I think we agreed above already on the reasons of clarity on a new formulation of the ordinary annual general assembly to the annual general meeting. And I think this should be considered in this formulation as well.
Okay, so it's Olivia speaking. How do you suggest it?
Wherever possible, annual general meeting shall be held in connection with each ICANN international meeting which is held in Europe, where the...
So, Olivia, if I can then jump in,
I
think that's going to be very difficult because there are three ICANN meetings per year. Now, imagine if all three ICANN meetings ended up being in Europe, we'd end up having three annual general assemblies in Europe, which would be a bit of a problem.
No, it says here wherever possible. First of all, I do not count with such a case that we may end up with three ICANN meetings a year in Europe. So it would be an extraordinary or more or less an exceptional case. And of course, in my opinion, it's clear if there will be, just in case, three subsequent ICANN meetings in the region, that we are not obliged to hold three meetings the very year. So we, in the given case, we could choose at what meeting over the year in the region we then would organize our annual general meeting. In my opinion,
thanks,
this is rather clear.
Yeah. Thanks for this, Wolf. It's Olivia speaking. I don't see any other hands up. I would suggest then the following. Wherever possible, a General Assembly shall be held in connection with an ICANN international meeting which is held in Europe. So we don't have with each ICANN international meeting.
Okay.
With an ICANN international meeting.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And we would call it actually wherever possible, an annual General Assembly shall be held in connection with an ICANN international meeting which is held in Europe. Where the annual General Assembly so provides, it shall be left to the chair of the association to convene the annual General Assembly by invitation, blah, blah, blah. The rest is fine. And that would then have both the draft agenda and the draft year report of the chair of the association. Any other comments? And Eric, I see your hand up. I assume that this is your previous hand. Wolf Ludwig.
Just a question. According to the practices over the last years, I usually tried to call the annual report the first year's the board report, somehow to insinuate that the whole work or the whole thing is not a one-man show. So I tried to broaden it. As a matter of fact, it was me who drafted the report, who sent it around and asking for approval. Then the last two reports, I called it annual report. So I think it could also be a suggestion. We can keep it as it is, draft year report of the chair of the association, or we can call it more a neutral, just annual report. That's what we use as a term in German when we say Jahresbericht, instead of calling it Vorstand oder Vorsitzendenbericht.
Thanks both. Yeah, draft annual report sounds more likely. Michael Medrish.
I would like to say that from my point of view, from my opinion, it's a report of a chair, because I suppose it's necessary to say directly, to say the name of the person who is responsible for this report. And this report is a report of a chair, not of a board. Board is a collective body, but the report of a certain person, of a main officer, of the chief officer. So I suppose it's, it must be mentioned that this report is a report of chair of Urala. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, for this. I think the question was whether we would call it a draft year report or a draft annual report. I don't think there's a question over the fact that it would be from the chair of the association. I would certainly support that this is the chair's report. The problem with having a report that has to be written and nobody owns it is that at the end of the day it doesn't get written because nobody holds the pen. Are we all okay with this? Volf, okay, your hand is up.
Excuse me.
Volf, your hand is up again. No, Michael. No, Michael.
I would like to add a little bit. You see, the chair is responsible for this report, and this is the report of a chair. Who will be involved in making this report? Board or some other persons, no matter. The responsible persons, this is the responsibility of a chair of the association. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for this, Michael. So I take it from your point is that you're okay with the draft annual report of the chair of association.
6.2.
Both, Ludwig.
Well, as I tried explain before, of course, it's finally the chair who is doing the drafting of the report. But as a kind of a best practice, over the last years, after I drafted the report, I sent it to the former board for consultation, for approval. In most cases, I didn't get any response besides sometimes Olivier or sometimes Jure. And finally, it was, so to say, my report, but it looks like a sole matter. Of course, the final responsibility is always with a chair, but I would prefer to have an annual report a little bit more like a collective effort where more people contribute, and it's, in my opinion, it looks very top-down if it's only called a chair's report. So I find the term annual report more neutral. Just my personal opinion.
Thanks, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. And I think on terminology, we certainly have, for example, the annual, the report on each one of the ICANN meetings is also called the ALAC Chair's Report, but it is created not only by the chair, but mostly actually by ICANN staff and also circulated among parts of the ALAC. So this looks more like something in the operational procedures and in the You know, when we start talking about the responsibilities of the board, for example, that the board will, you know, the board members have to read through the chair's report and approve it and contribute to it and so on. But we're looking here just at what documents needs to be there for an annual general meeting. And the draft agenda in the draft annual report of the chair of the association is, I guess, something that's well understood by everyone. And at least we have, because it is the responsibility of the chair at the end of the day to emit those documents. And the chair, of course, with everyone else, with, you know, whatever way he has to do it. So I wouldn't be touching too much. I note that you say here, look at, very isolated, the term chair's report, but that's a term that has been used on many of the other parts of ICANN. Are there any other views about this? Okay, I see that we are 2 minutes already beyond the end of the allocated time for this call. We have proceeded forward. We've gone through one of the pages. There were a total of 3.5 pages there. We will probably have to, well, the rest of it is also looking at the responsibilities of the chair of the association. The good thing is that we have had some movement forward. Oh, I note that we have a few minutes left because we did have an allocated time which takes us up to 4:15. So that's, or 10 past the top of the hour. So that's interesting, in which case we can probably, because we have scheduled 70 minutes, we can probably then do one more, in fact, a couple more, I hope. Number 7. The General Assembly may take place via a physical meeting at a specific place or via electronic means or via a combination of both due to the procedure described in the rules of procedure. The details of the same have to be made clear in the invitation. The means of holding the General Assembly shall ensure that all ALSs are able to participate and on the same footing. Are there any comments on this? I'm not seeing any hands up. So it looks like this is language that's just taken from the other document. The next one, any member may submit an item for the agenda via email by sending it to the board at least 2 weeks prior to the date upon which the General Assembly shall commence. Wolf Ludwig.
Thanks, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig for the record. Well, this is part of the problem of the previous original bylaws, that it was almost everywhere referring to the board. And in the meantime, we discussed and discussed, etc., and by the practice we realized that this board fixation does not really work in practice. I would replace here, instead of the term board, to the leadership.
Thank you, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. So what's the leadership defined as?
It's a chair and the vice chair. It's a chair and the vice chair.
Okay, chair and vice chair. Okay, thank you. We have a queue. Michael Medrish is next.
I've tried to ask what does it mean. I suppose it's necessary to write down directly chair and vice chair, because leadership is a term which is unknown for today, now articles of association. So to chair and to the vice chair, and it is absolutely clear. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Michael. Next is Sebastian Bachelet.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Why not to the URL mailing list? Thank you.
Okay, thanks. That's a very transparent way. Thank you, Sebastian. We have, I think, no one has mentioned that they should send it to the Uralo board, so now we have a choice between sending it to the chair and vice chair. And by the way, I agree, if we are going to use the word leadership, then we would need to define what leadership is further up in the in our bylaws. And I don't think at the moment there is a there is anywhere a definition of a leadership. So chair and vice chair makes it less ambiguous. But we do have a choice of Uralo mailing list. Should points be sent to the Uralo mailing list? That certainly brings more transparency. Michael Medrish?
I suppose that Sebastian's choice is the best. Mailing list is transparent and absolutely clear for all. So it's good enough, I suppose, to have such procedure. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Michael. Are we set with the mailing list?
Yeah.
I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so okay. So we're going forward with the mailing list. So any member may submit an item for the agenda via email by sending it to the mailing list at least 2 weeks prior to the date, to the Uralo mailing list, at least 2 weeks prior to the date upon which the General Assembly shall commence. Number nine, that's probably the last one we do today. The General Assembly shall be chaired by the chair of the association. The vice chair shall act as chair of the General Assembly where the chair is unable to do so for any part of the General Assembly session or in case the chair delegated such duty to the vice chair. That looks like a pretty standard point. I don't see anyone putting their hand up on this, so that looks like it's fine. And let's end up with a round number then. Let's go with number 10. The General Assembly shall determine whether or not items on the draft agenda shall be modified, deleted, or further items added to the agenda as part of its work, including whether or not to consider any items submitted to it. If I must remind you, at the beginning of each one of our calls, this is what we actually do. We adopt the agenda, and I do ask whether there are any amendments or changes to the agenda. So that seems to be pretty much something that's uncontroversial. Okay, it's 9 minutes past the top of the hour. Oh, I see Sebastian has put his hand up. So, Sebastian, you have the floor. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand that it's time, but let's think about that. My point is the following. We ask new item to be sent 2 weeks prior, and here we say that at the last moment we can add new items. That means that if somebody came with an item and the other are not prepared, it may happen to be on the discussion and with unbalanced preparation. I have nothing against, keep in mind that we are slightly saying some different. 2 weeks before and here you can do it at the last moment. Maybe it could be a discussion to start the next meeting.
Thanks for this, Sebastian. I see that Michael and Wolf has put their hand up. Let's go through the list and close the queue after them. Michael Medrish.
I suppose that Sebastian is right to think about this point is necessary to understand better the nature of this process. It can be 2 weeks before means to prepare in normal way the draft of agenda. But on a general meeting, on a general assembly, it can be necessary to add something because it's a new situation.
so we are to have a possibility to do this. Maybe not doing, but to have a possibility at least. And it is necessary, I suppose, because general meeting can be face-to-face meeting and something new can appear. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Michael. Next is Wolf Ludwig.
Thanks, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig for the records. I would like to support what Michael just tried to point to. As a matter of fact, over the past years, I or the leadership, we draft an agenda. We submit it to the community as a draft agenda. So it's up for consultation, and people within 2 weeks can come up. In best case, they do it within the period prescribed, but as Michael tried to say, there can be circumstances when the last moment something very important comes up, and then it could be suggested or considered. As a matter of fact, it's a usual rule at the opening of the General Assembly that the draft agenda, which is a draft until the opening, needs to be approved by the members. So up to this moment, some urgencies may come up, or some members may say during this procedure, well, I think we won't have the time, the agenda is overloaded. I suggest that today we exclude point 7 to find more time for point 5, etc. I think it's a democratic procedure that at the opening of a General Assembly members can finally reconsider, and then the draft agenda needs to be adopted. And I think it's a regular and usual procedure, and we should keep it like this, to be open and flexible. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking, and let's leave the question as it is now, and we will start the call next week again with this point 10. I personally would go for flexibility among many of the things, and of course, if the agenda is to be discussed at the beginning of the call, there is always a possibility for the General Assembly to reject any changes or any amendments that people wish to bring forward. Whilst if you do send your topics 2 weeks in advance or more than 2 weeks in advance, you have a much higher chance of having those topics, if they are regular topics, to be included. In any case, I'd like to thank you all for this. I think we've moved forward here. We're actually proceeding with drafting things, and this we will not have to revisit later on. As on this occasion, I will follow up on the mailing list now, telling people to have a look at our what we've worked on today and asking for any objections, and also on the work that we did last week. Doodle poll for next week. I am aware that there is yes, Wolf, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to point to the fact that next week it may be difficult because some people will go to Eurodic, and next week I can send already my apologies that I won't be available for such a call.
Yes, thanks for this, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I was going to mention that Eurodig is taking place next week. I think several people are traveling to Brussels on that day, and I wonder, I certainly will be myself in Brussels, and on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm likely to be very busy indeed. I wonder if we could perhaps look at the week after. So
yeah.
Leave 1 week off, basically, and go 1 week later. If that's okay with all of you. then it would be that would be very helpful for me, certainly. And I know that Wolf won't be able to make it, and it might be. I don't know if any of you are going. I think Eric also is going to Eurodig. So, of course, I could always suggest that we all start discussing things around a drink at Eurodig, but that's a totally different story. Okay, I see no objection to skipping next week and restarting in 2 weeks' time. Let's please continue on the mailing list if you have any other points to make. I think we're progressing well. And what I do like here is that we're now having this thing where the train has started rolling, so we're going through things, and we're getting bylaws which are going to be a lot more solid with time. So that's really good. Thanks to all of you for having joined. And Eric Schweighofer, hopefully next time we can get your microphone to work. And I can see that you are going to Eurodig. So that's good. We'll be able to have a chat at Eurodig, and maybe we'll test out the machine so you can take full part in those calls. Thanks to everyone else, and speak to you in 2 weeks' time. But let's continue being on the mailing list. Bye-bye. Let's call it
a day. Bye-bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.